listening to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner. If you're within the sound of my voice, then there's a good chance you have shoveled snow in the past 24 hours. How hard that was depended on how heavy the snow was, and that depended on how much water was in that snow. How much is there? The answer to that question is not a simple one, but it is a little bit easier if you've got a powerful electron microscope. That's the tool used by Eric Irby, who made a breakthrough in calculating the amount of water that can be released by different kinds of snow cover when he worked at the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center here in Maryland. Along the way, he got some of the most amazing photographs ever taken of snowflakes. Eric Irby joins us by phone from his home in Davis, West Virginia. Good morning, sir.
Hello, good morning.
Tell us what kind of snow you see out your window.
Well, it's not as deep of snow as we normally would have, but we had a lot of storms in the last few weeks that gave us over 2 feet of snow, but last night or yesterday we had about 6 inches of snow on top of a thawed layer, and it's refrozen. It was 0 degrees last night, and it's a really nice, pretty snow.
Are there a lot of different kinds of snow?
Oh, snow varies so incredibly. It's one of the most amazing substances on Earth. You can have an inch of snow that is almost a half an inch of water, and you can have a foot of snow that only yields an inch of water. Some of the snows in Utah are known for their light, fluffy powder nature, and the snows in the east are normally laden with a lot of water.
Now, you studied snowflakes using an electron microscope. Tell us what you did there.
Yeah, an electron microscope is pretty amazing. They weigh like 2,000 pounds and are over 8 foot tall, but they can study very, very fine structures in materials. And I just created a way that I could put snow into an electron microscope and take pictures essentially in 3D. And NASA was very interested in these because they're looking at water from space and how much water is available for irrigation and agriculture, as well as for flood control. And it's very important to know how much water is in snow.
How did you keep the snowflakes stable when you put them into the electron microscope, keep them from melting?
Well, it's a unique way where you can take the snow, which is already frozen because water freezes at about 0 degrees centigrade or 32 degrees, but you can attach it to a metal plate and then dip it into liquid nitrogen, which is about 270 degrees below zero. And in this material, it's totally stable, and we shipped it back by aircraft to the laboratory.
Oh, so you move the snow around in super, super cold blocks of nitrogen? Well, I guess liquid nitrogen.
Well, the nitrogen is liquid, and you actually cool a container. There's no liquid in it because you can't ship it in an aircraft. But this would allow it to be preserved for months and even years, and then looked at one sample at a time. So they would be collected through a snowpack, look at each layer, and by looking at the structure of the snow, it gave NASA's mathematical modelers ideas of how microwaves from the Earth are scattered by the snow.
And you looked at the snow in 3D. What does a snowflake look like in 3D? I mean, I know we're familiar seeing the two-dimensional images of snowflakes.
Right, right. Well, way back at the turn of the century, Bentley went and photographed a lot of snow with a very, very simple light microscope that his father bought him in Vermont. He's the one that popularized the shape of the snow crystal being a dendrite. Dendrites are only one sort of snow. Actually, most of the snow on the East Coast is needle snow. It just has not as much beauty as the dendritic snow, but heavy storms are typically composed of this. But there are also bullets, and there's columns, all variety of shapes and sizes. But most of those aren't photographable well with a light microscope.
But you can see them with the electron microscope.
The electron microscope is very unique because in photography, there's a thing called depth of field. And when an object is fairly thick, you can only focus on one part of that thickness at a time with a light microscope. In the electron microscope, the entire object is pretty much in focus and clear.
What advances does this allow scientists to make? What can you do knowing this greater structure of the snowflake that you couldn't before?
Well, with the meteorology that's done all over the country, there are meteorological sites that monitor the snowfall, the rainfall, the humidity, the temperature over the course of a year. And if you look at the snow in these locations and have what's called ground truth, you look and see what's actually happening on the ground, then you can make inferences to how you can look at the same snow from space. And in fact, there's a satellite that was just launched last Thursday called the Global Precipitation Measurement Satellite, and it was launched out of Japan, and this is specifically to see water and snow worldwide. Every 4 hours, it has a refresh of the water in the air and everything that's global.
You need the electron microscope to really see the difference between, as you said, the dendritic snowflakes or the needle snowflakes. But you can also tell this from outer space, just looking down?
Well, they have new sorts of instrumentation. There's microwave sensors and radar sensors, and each one does do different things. And it's sort of like a CAT scan, looking at the internal structures of clouds. And they can actually tell different types of snow and also whether it's rain or snow. And this is done on a huge scale. It used to be individuals went up into the mountains and dug snow pits in maybe 20 locations in the country per day or week. And that they garnered all their information from these snow depths and density measurements done by individuals. Now, huge areas like the entire swath of California can be seen in one pass of a satellite. And through knowing all of the things that happen in the snow, they can calculate how much water is available.
And what good does that do us?
Well, it's a big deal because if you don't know how much water there is, you can have incredible flooding, as we've seen in the past. If you don't retain enough water in a hydro or a dam or something like this, there's not enough water to bring crops to harvest. I mean, they'll dry up because you run out of water. So very important to hold back enough water to provide for crops, but release enough so the flooding is not as big of an issue.
Thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Oh, sure thing. Yeah, you can go to the Baltimore Science Center probably and see a movie about the new satellite on the sphere. So check into that.
We'll be sure to post a link to that on our website so folks can check it out. Thank you so much again.
Sure thing. Okay, thanks for having me.
Uh-huh. Eric Irvey is the former head of the Electron Microscope Lab at the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center. The amazing images of snowflakes we discussed are also at WIPR.org. Click the Maryland Morning link. This is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner. The snow is likely to stick around for a while, so enjoy it if you can. Here's a suggestion.
Let's build a snowman. We can make him our best friend. We can name him Tom.